Numbers 21 and verse 1, and when King Arad the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, If thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel, and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities, and he called the name of the place Hormah. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. And therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. It shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, and we bless you once again that we're able to read your word in this public way. And Father, I pray that you would grant to us, Lord, eyes to see, ears to hear that which you have for each and every one of us here this morning. Lord, we all have different needs. We're all at a different place in our walk with you. And may there, Lord, be a word for each one of us, a word in season. We pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 4 says this, And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And this morning I want to talk to us about discouragement. Have you ever been discouraged? Ever felt like things weren't quite going the way you'd like them to go? And so you've gotten discouraged maybe in your walk with the Lord, maybe in relationships or whatever, but there's a discouragement there. Webster says this about being discouraged. He gives a definition. It means to be disheartened. I'm just disheartened. It can mean deprived of courage or confidence. No longer have the confidence to go ahead with maybe what I thought. It can even mean depressed in spirits. I feel depressed. I just don't feel encouraged at all. It may mean, Webster says, feeling dejected. I just feel dejected. I'm not really rejoicing. I'm not praising the Lord. And then he says, finally, discouraged couldn't mean just checked. I'm checked in my relationships or in my circumstances. And the Bible tells us here that the children of Israel was much discouraged because of the way. Because of the way God was leading them. You ever find that? You get discouraged? You just feel like, what's the point? This Christian life is just too hard. Maybe someone has said something, done something. Maybe they haven't said something or done something that you expected. It may be just that the circumstances of your life just don't seem to be going the way you would like them to. You've prayed and you've prayed and God doesn't seem to have answered your prayer. For some reason or other, God's not hearing, and the temptation is to become discouraged. Lord, I've committed my life to you, and I've tried my best to live for you, and all that I get is failure and defeat, and Lord, I'm just discouraged. You ever been there? You've made a commitment to the Lord, and you said, Lord, I know I haven't been living how I should, but I am from now on going to live right, and about a week later you feel like you're back in a mess and wallowing in it. You get discouraged. You get disheartened. and you don't have any confidence to go on. You start to feel depressed in your spirit. You're discouraged at what God's doing or what God's allowing in your life. And this is where the children of Israel were at. They had no reason to be discouraged, really, and we'll look at some of that. But they were discouraged. The circumstances were such that they just, as it were, had enough. They've been led out of Egypt and they've come through the Red Sea, and now this way they're going, they've got to skirt around Edom. The Edomites wouldn't allow them to go through the land. And they promised to pay for anything they did, they'd taken, anything they used, and the Edomites said, no, we're not going to put up with that. And so they had to go around, and the children of Israel got discouraged, and they thought, you know, this is, what's going on here? What's God doing, perhaps, in their mind? And why doesn't he deal with these Edomites? Why can't we just go straight through? And on it goes. And so for them, their circumstances were causing them to be discouraged. Be careful when you get discouraged. Because notice what happens in verse 5. The people are discouraged, and what do? The people spake against God and against Moses. Think about it. They're discouraged, and so now they start pointing the finger. They point the finger at God, and they speak against God. Imagine that. You say, well, these are the heathen. No, these are God's people speaking against God. Yeah? Ever been there? Felt like, or even pointed your finger at God, said, God, what are you doing? What's happening? Not only that, against Moses, God's leader. Ever done that? Pointed at the pastor and say, who does he think he is anyway? He's no encouragement to me. He's a discouragement. He's not taking me the way I want to go. He's not joining Hillsong or whatever. What's the problem? Start pointing the finger. And so the children of Israel, they're discouraged. Be careful when you get discouraged, because it can lead to unthankfulness. It can lead to complaining. It can lead to all sorts of things which are going to be costly. Because notice what happens. They said to God and to Moses, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? God, Moses, did you bring us out here so that we could die? Well, what a stupid question, really. God had said, I've got a special land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a wonderful land. It's a land that you're just going to be able to walk into and take it over. I'll deliver all the people into your hands. I mean, the grapes of Eshcol, two men to carry one bunch. I mean, this is an amazing land. And so God has promised them this. And yet here they are. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? It's amazing how quickly people forget, isn't it? Quickly forget what God has promised and what the future holds. For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. We hate this light bread you're giving us. Imagine that. I mean, they're talking to God. They're not talking to the neighbor across the road. That's one thing. So what was God's response? Well, we know God's response. God was not happy, was he? He didn't just say, oh, well, they're just having a bad day. Oh, bless their hearts, they're just struggling a little bit at the moment, but they'll come good. No, God didn't do it on this occasion. Verse 6, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, notice, and much people of Israel died. A lot of those complainers died. A lot of those people who started out by being discouraged became complainers, and God allowed these fiery serpents to bite them, and many of them died. Be careful about discouragement. Pick up on it when you're starting to feel discouraged. You say, how do you know whether you're feeling discouraged? Ask yourself, are you unthankful? Are you unthankful about anything that's happening in your life right now? Because that's a fair indication that you're probably discouraged, or soon will be if you're not. The two go together. Unthankfulness and discouragement. I don't know which comes first. In this case, it was discouragement, then the unthankfulness. It appears that way. It may have been the other way. They became unthankful and therefore were discouraged. But the two go together. Be careful about it. And so the circumstances were a great discouragement, and God sent these fiery serpents. Well, the Bible says in verse 7, therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, we've spoken against the Lord and against thee. At least they acknowledge what they've done, amen. Some people won't even acknowledge what they're doing. They just keep pointing the finger at God. And they said, pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And notice what happened. The Lord didn't do it quite the way they wanted, did he? They said, Lord, let's say, Moses, ask God to take away all the serpents. Take all the snakes. Want them all gone. That's not what the Lord did he? He did something better. So how was that better? He gave them the opportunity to show whether they were truly repentant or not. He said, what do you mean? Well, what happened? The Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. It shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he look upon it, shall live. And so Moses made a serpent of brass, put it on a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Now, I can't say this definitely, but I wonder whether the biggest complainers, the biggest problem makers were the ones who got bitten. I don't know that. Might not have been that. Snakes might have been indiscriminate, just bitten anybody and everybody. Well, God may have designed it so they bit the ones who were causing the biggest problem. I don't know. I'm not saying that's the case. But God gave them the opportunity, didn't he, to see whether they really were repentant and prepared now to trust God again. How is he going to do that? Here's the fiery serpent. Put it in the middle there, that brass serpent, and everybody gets bitten. When they look, they won't die. Now, it's almost like God says to the children of Israel, okay, you've said you've sinned, and you've spoken against me, and you've spoken against Moses. Let's see whether you are really serious or not. Let's see whether there's a true repentance. Let's see whether you'll do what I tell you. I'm not doing what you tell me to do. I'm not going to remove all the serpents. I'm not going to remove all the snakes. I'm going to leave them there and give you the opportunity to show that you truly are repentant. So if you get bitten, all you have to do is look up and you won't die. God says, simple enough. But the circumstances had caused them to be discouraged. Have a look in Numbers 32. Not only do circumstances bring opportunity for discouragement, other people can bring opportunity for discouragement as well. In Numbers chapter 32 and verse 6, and Moses said unto the children of Gad and the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war and shall you sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them? Moses says to these two tribes, you don't want to go over the land. You don't so go over the river into the promised land. You want to stay this side. Do you know what you're going to be if you take that approach as I see it right now? You will be a discouragement to the heart of the other people. See, other people can be a discouragement, can't they? It's not just circumstances that can be a discouragement. Other people can be a discouragement. In verse 9, for when they went up into the valley of Escol, first of all, verse 8, thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they went up unto the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel, that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. Moses said, we've been there before. When we came to the opportunity to go over Jordan and into the promised land, I sent these 12 spies into the land to spy out the land. They went up into the valley of Eshcol. They saw the grapes. They brought them back. Then they came back and they discouraged the people. Instead of being like Caleb and Joshua and encourage the people, they discouraged the people. They said, we can't go up there. There's Anakim. There's giants in the land. There's no way we can go up. Let's stay here. Now, what had God said? God said, go in. God said, I'll be with you. God said, I'll take care of it. God said, I'm going to give it all to you. Just go into the land. And these 10 men discouraged a whole nation. Imagine that. whole nation. See how powerful the effect of discouragement can be. If you're going to be a discouragement, be careful. You might discourage a lot more people than what you think you do. Be careful about discouraging other people. And often it is. Someone wants to live for the Lord, Caleb and Joshua, and the others don't really want to live. They don't want to go the whole way. They don't want to be totally consecrated and living for God. And so what they'll do is they'll try and pull the others down. They'll try and pull Caleb down. They'll try and pull Joshua down to their low level of their walk with God, instead of being an encourager and saying, praise the Lord for Caleb, praise the Lord for Joshua, we're going to go with them. We are going to go into the land with them. We're going to, Caleb, let's go. Joshua, let's go. We're going to follow you. That's what the other 10 should have done, shouldn't they? But they didn't. They said, oh, no, 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 no. And they then discouraged the whole nation. The whole nation became disheartened. The whole nation lacked confidence and courage in God now. The whole nation became depressed in their spirits. They were a discouragement. Have a look in Deuteronomy. Moses reminds them again of this in Deuteronomy chapter 1. In Deuteronomy chapter 1. He talks about going up to the land in verse 20. And I said unto you, ye are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give unto us. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. See, fear comes into it as well. Get fearful, get discouraged. Moses said, don't be discouraged. And verse 28, he says, whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our heart, saying the people is greater and taller than we. Moses had warned them, don't be discouraged. There's some giants up there. We understand that. There's some difficulties. There's going to be some problems. But don't be discouraged. God is on our side. You know, sometimes we can get all discouraged. You know, I don't think we should door knock anymore. Why not? Because we haven't seen too many people come, and I don't know whether it's worth it anymore. And in these days, people aren't listening to the Bible anymore. People aren't interested in God. And, you know, they'll think you're Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons or someone knocking on the door. Just don't go. Stay home. Instead of saying, let's go out there. We've got a commission to reach the whole world for Christ. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You won't do that sitting at home. You won't do that sucking your thumb watching the telly. Amen? You've got to get out there and reach out to the lost. That's what it's about. But the discouragers come, well, these are hard days. It's always been hard when it comes to sharing the gospel. You'll never find, what does God say? There are none that seek after God. No, not one. Don't expect for people to rush up to you. Oh, I just want to hear about the gospel. I want to be saved. Maybe in other lands they may do that to some extent. But not in this country. We are spiritually bankrupt. And it's not going to happen. And so be careful you're not a discouragement. You say, I don't say anything, I just don't do it. That's a discouragement as well to those who are wanting to do something for the Lord. We can be a discouragement. There was a land to be gained. There was a whole amazing land that God wanted to give to them. They didn't have to do anything. Just follow God. He would take care of it. He would beat the enemy. He would do it all. But a little handful of people discouraged the whole nation. Two or three people would be enough to discourage a whole church. One person would be enough to discourage a church. Think about it. Are you an encourager or a discourager? Do you do what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, where it talks about not forsaking the assembling yourselves together, but doing what? Exhorting one another, encouraging one another. Or are we a discouragement? You know, you don't have to say anything too bad to be discouraged. All you got to do is talk about the weather and the football and nothing else. That will be a discouragement to someone who wants to live for the Lord. because they'll be looking for someone to speak about the things of the Lord and how good God is and how wonderful his salvation and what a marvelous thing it's going to be in heaven one day and we'll be like the Lord. And they want to talk about that, and all you want to do is talk about the weather and the football, and you're a discouragement to them. Can happen. Can happen. We're supposed to be exhorting one another, encouraging one another. Be like Barnabas. He was an exhorter. He was an encouragement. When all the others were steering away from the Apostle Paul as a new Christian, guess who got alongside him? Barnabas. And he was a great encouragement to him. And he took them in front of the brethren. He said, God's done a work in this man's life. God's working in him. And so forth and so on. He was an encouragement to Paul, but he was an encouragement to the rest of the church. Again, you're an encouragement or are you a discouragement? Would other people look at you and say, boy, they're not much encouragement. I don't know what the problem is, but they're no encouragement. Or would they look and say, boy, I like being around that person. They're an encouragement. They like talking about the Lord. They like doing those things. Or is it the other way around? Circumstances can be a discouragement. People can be a discouragement. You think about King David. Have a look in 1 Samuel chapter 30. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, and David finds himself in this chapter, this passage, this time in his life, in a very discouraging position. In fact, a very dangerous position. In verse 1 of 1 Samuel chapter 30, it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. And had taken the women captives that were therein, they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Now there's an encouragement for you. They've come back, the city's in ruins, and they're all gone. All the women and children, everything's gone, all the goods. Notice verse 4. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. They are weeping and mourning and mourning, and that's all they could manage. Verse 5. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And verse 6, and David was greatly distressed. Why? For the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. Now you can understand that that's a difficult situation. If you were there with one of those men, no doubt you would have been tempted to say, look what David's causes, look at the problems he's caused, look what's happened now, all because we followed this man. And now here we are, everything's burnt down, our wives, our children, all our goods are gone. I think there's only one remedy. We need to stone David and kill him. We need to fix him. David was greatly distressed. I mean, it wasn't as if he wasn't touched by this whole thing. I mean, David's the leader, but he was touched by what was happening. You know, leaders do get touched by what's going on around the place. And so it was with David. But notice what he did. He didn't get discouraged. He didn't, as we would say, throw in the towel and give up. No, what did he do? David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. You're starting to feel a bit down. Starting to feel a little bit discouraged. Here's what you need to do. Encourage yourself in the Lord your God. The children of Israel should have stopped. Instead of getting murmuring and complaining, unthankful, they should have stopped and said, now hang on, we need to think about this. We were down there in Egypt. We were in terrible bondage. Our children were being killed by Pharaoh. Our sons, our firstborn, our sons were being killed by Pharaoh. I mean, we had all sorts of problems down there. And when we said we'd like to go out and do some sacrificing and worshiping of God, things got worse and worse and worse. And how bad was it? But thank God he delivered us out of there. Thank God he showed his power through those 10 amazing judgments upon Egypt. Thank God he showed himself mighty on our behalf. Thank God for that. And encouraged themselves in the Lord. And then if that wasn't enough, they could have gone back to the Red Sea situation and remember that there was the wilderness on one side and the mountains on the other side, the Red Sea in front of them and behind them Pharaoh's army, and there's no way out, humanly speaking. And then God said to Moses, tell the people to be quiet and to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. They're fearful, understandably so. And yet they're in the center of God's will, so there's no need to worry. Well, God says, Moses, just lift your rod up. And the waters parted. I mean, that's quite a feat, isn't it? And there's probably between 2 to 3 million souls there. There's 600 and something thousand men. They're all married, plus a couple of children each. You've got probably 3 million there. So it's not just a little narrow path like we've got down the center here. I'd suggest this was a major movement of the water. And as they went past, there's a wall of water either side. And they should have thought back to that and said, how good is God? How gracious is God? And then carry the story a little bit further. When they got over the other side, the Bible says they went through on dry land. And what did God say? Moses, here's what you now need to do. Lift up your rod over the Red Sea again. And what happened? Pharaoh and his army had come through, hadn't they? They're out in the middle there on the dry ground, driving their chariots, 600 of their chosen chariots, plus all the other chariots, plus their army. They're out there in the middle, and they are very, very keen to capture Moses and the children of Israel and take them back to be slaves. And God said, here's what you do. Moses, lift up your rod. He lifted up his rod, and the wheels came off all the chariots. Now imagine you're driving a chariot without wheels. It'd be a bumpy ride. But not only that, I'm sure it wasn't instantly, but it was enough time for them to realize they are in serious trouble. The wheels are off. We've got to get out of here, but it's too late. Boom. They're all killed. And the children of Israel should have thought back and said, our God is so good. Our God takes care of us. Our God meets our every need. How good is God? Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes, we've got to go around Edom. Who cares? God's with us. We can't go through. Who cares? God's providing for us. We've got to do this, but God is giving us manna every day. God is giving us meat at night. How good is God? God is leading us. Have a look, everybody. There's the pillar of cloud during the day. Have a look at night. There's the pillar of fire. God is with us. God is leading us. How good is God? Amen. That's what they should have done. But instead, they got discouraged. And then they begin to get unthankful and they begin to blame God and speak against God. What a disgrace. But before we get too hard on them, make sure we're not doing the same thing. Amen. Make sure that when we feel a little down, make sure we get a little discouraged. Make sure when circumstances don't go our way. Make sure when someone maybe says something or does something that doesn't quite encourage us. In fact, it discourages us. Be careful. Be like Joshua. Be like Caleb. Don't allow the circumstances. Don't allow the giants for you to get discouraged and then become unthankful and complaining and murmuring, and God will have to deal with you. We could go on and on, couldn't we? About this whole situation, about discouragement. I would suggest that every one of us, somewhere at some time, even if not right now, has been discouraged. Just feel like giving up. Lord, I don't know what it is, but I just don't seem to be getting any victory. I don't know what it is, Lord, but you don't seem to be answering my prayers anymore. Lord, I don't know what it is. Nobody seems to be interested in serving you anymore. That's what Elijah said, didn't he? He got all discouraged. He said, even I am left, that's all, nobody else. You ever felt like that? You're discouraged. And you feel like nobody else knows, and nobody else understands, and nobody even cares. Who cares? You get discouraged. And God had to say to Elijah, Elijah, you're being pretty foolish here. You've run away, you've done all that, you're all confused in your mind and what you're thinking and what you're doing. Moses, let me tell you something. I've got 7,000 others who have not bowed their knee. You're not the only one. Elijah, you might be feeling discouraged and feel like nobody else is interested in the things of God. Don't worry, Elijah, I've got some others. discouragement, circumstances, people. Ask yourself today, am I encouraged in the Lord or am I discouraged at the moment? Am I encouraged or are circumstances or people currently discouraging me in my walk with the Lord? Encouraged? Just then ask yourself another question. Am I an encourager or an encouragement, or am I a discourager, a discouragement to others? If I were to stand up here this morning, and by the way, we can all be an encourager or we can all be a discourager. It's a choice we make. If we do what King David did and encourage ourselves in the Lord, that's where you start. You're never going to be an encouragement to someone else unless you are encouraged in the Lord yourself. You can't be an encouragement if you're discouraged, can you? Can't happen. So first of all, you need to encourage yourself in the Lord. If you're saved this morning, rejoice. My hope is in the Lord. Rejoice in salvation. Rejoice in the Lord of all that he's done. And count your many blessings. See what God has done. And once you get your own heart encouraged a little bit, then go out and be an encouragement to someone else. Amen? Exhort someone else. Brother, how are you going? How's your walk with the Lord? You ever ask anybody that? How's your walk with the Lord? How's your prayer life? Has God been answering your prayers recently? What blessings have you received from the work? Forget about the football score, and praise God the football season's over. It'll come back, I know, but now that's out the road, we can maybe get down some serious stuff, amen? Encourage one another. When did you last witness to someone, brother, sister? Can you share a blessing, an answer to prayer, something that would be an encouragement to someone else? Be an encourager. Be a Caleb, be a Joshua, be a Barnabas. Be an encouragement to others. Let your light so shine that men shall see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Be an encourager. Don't be a discouragement. Because discouragement leads to unthankfulness and murmuring and complaining and finger pointing at God and at other people and blaming your circumstances. And mark it down, God will deal with you. Guaranteed. Because you'll be sowing to the flesh, and if you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. May God help us not to allow circumstances and other people to discourage us. Keep our eyes on the Lord. But more than that, to be positive, to be an encouragement to others. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and bless you for this time in your word. And Lord, we know that what we've spoken of this morning is very real, Lord. We're all prone to that if we're not careful, Lord, to get discouraged. Lord, maybe our prayers aren't answered quite when or how. For the children of Israel, their prayer wasn't answered the way they wanted it. But Lord, you nevertheless answered in a wonderful way, because we know the Lord Jesus later referred back to this incident to teach people the message of salvation, that looking to the cross of Calvary and believing on the Lord Jesus would mean eternal life. So, Lord, you did some wonderful things there, Lord, and we praise you and bless you. We thank you, dear Father, that we read of the Lord Jesus in the Scriptures that he was never discouraged. It's amazing. Had plenty of reason to be discouraged. At the last, all forsook him, but he was never discouraged. We think of David in that very difficult situation, Father, and how he was even fearful, but he encouraged himself in the Lord. Lord, help us to be like Caleb and Joshua, who encouraged the people. Although they ignored them, they were encouragers. We think of Barnabas. He was an encourager. And Lord, may we be encouragers one to another. May we exhort one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. And we give you thanks in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.